Mishkanu. Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis, Friday the 11th of March, Rabbi Mendel Blachman, Mishkan Ha'edus.
I must say good morning. I must say the honest truth, that is that I usually sit when I teach. In Yiddish they say, "Mishteitem eret, zitztem lernt." We sit and we learn and we stand and we speak. Speaking is a flooded market, so I prefer learning. But we'll do it this way. The opening statement, we are now finishing, I would say. The parsha is dealing with the Binyan HaMishkan. And the Mishkan is described in this week's parsha, El Pkudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus. The Mishkan of the Edus, the Mishkan, the residence, one would say, of the Testament. Ramban explains in this week's parsha, the Mishkan HaEdus means to say this is the place where uniquely we place the Luchos HaEdus, the tablets of the Testament. First, I'd like to understand what that means. What does it mean that the Luchos are called Luchos HaEdus? Edus to what? What do they testify to? What does this mean, the Testament? That's the question I'd like to find. What does Edus mean? Basically, this seems to be pointing out that the primary reason for the Mikdash, rather, seems to be not the Mizbeach, not the Avodah done in the Mizbeach, but specifically the Oren. Mishkan HaEdus deals with the fact that the Luchos are there. That's what the Ramban practice says. This obviously fits with the Shita of the Ramban. Those who learn Ramban know that in the Hagdama to Sefer Parshas Truma, and actually also the Hagdama to the Sefer Shmos, Ramban writes that the purpose of the Mishkan is to have what one would call a mobile Sinai unit. You'd like to have a continuance of Har Sinai, a place of revelation, wherever we go. We try to live Maimed Har Sinai in the desert and so on and so forth. That is the primary reason of the Mishkan. That's why the Kapyrus is Zahav. Zahav is red, at least good old red gold. They used to be the old Omega watches, I remember. Okay, the old watches, the old gold, red gold. Well, that was the idea of the fire, the Eish HaGdayla found in Har Sinai. The Gilui Shechina was Ki Ba'oronon Eroa Ala Kapyrus. There was going to be an Anon, which is similar, obviously, to the Anon which was on Har Sinai, and so on and so forth. For Ramban, the purpose of Migdash and Mishkan is basically for God to be in dialogue with man. Nevuah, prophecy. All prophecies came vis-a-vis Ben HaKapyrus, as the Rishonim write, the Ikrim elaborates on this, that all the prophecies would first come, so to speak, min HaShamayim, to Ben HaKapyrus, to Ben HaKruvim al HaKapyrus, and from there to wherever the Navi was. Even Yecheskel, which was Misnaba, which prophesied in Babylon, the Nebuah first came to Har Maria. It was like a relay station, and from there, only afterwards did it go to Bavel, to Yechezkel when he was on the Hakvor. That is the purpose of the Mikdash, is for God to be in dialogue with man. One always wonders, it seems to be an interesting relationship. God talks to man, Bein HaKapyrus, and man talks to God, supposed to speak vis-a-vis the Mizbeach, vis-a-vis the Avodah, an interesting dialectic relationship. God talks to you, you talk to him. This seems to be the idea of Mishkan HaEdus according to Ramban. But in all truth, those who are aware, the Rambam seems to be saying another approach to Mikdash. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBchira, the laws of building the Mikdash, the Rambam writes in Perik Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Mitzvah Saseh La'asos Bayis La'ashem. There's a mitzvah, a positive a religious imperative to make a house for God, not defining what that means, not actually defining how that is done, just bayis la'ashem. Muchan, it should be set aside and ready. Liyot makrivim boi hakarbanos. It should be set aside and ready for the sacrifice of animals, karbanos. Because gigim elav shalosh pamim b'shana, we also celebrate around it thrice yearly. Shenemar v'osol imigdash, as the pasuk says, you should build a temple for me. Ukvar nisparesh v'atoyer mishkan shasa Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Torah already elaborates on the Mishkan which Moshe Rabbeinu made. That was obviously only temporary. You haven't yet come to Eretz Yisrael, the Menucha and Nachla. And then finally we were commanded to build the Beis HaMikdash. Rambam seems to be pointing out two focal points about the Mikdash. Doesn't seem to be mentioning the Aron or prophecy, but rather two things. First and foremost, Karbanos. Place where man talks to God, so to speak, beseeches, prays, etc. The other thing he writes, which is really very interesting, that the idea of the Aliyah L'Regel, the thrice yearly pilgrimage, is something which is not just a thing done with the Mikdash, but seems to be part of the basic understanding of what it's for. Because the Rambam doesn't write, by the way, we also do Birchas Kayanim there. The Rambam doesn't write so many other things. We don't bring Bikurim there. He doesn't mention that. Bikurim is not a korban. He doesn't say Bikurim there. Does he mention Aliyah L'Regel, implying be the Aliyah L'Regel, the idea of the nation galvanizing itself around this focal point of the Har Moriah of the Mikdash seems to be a reason for the existence of this place. This place seems to be Karbanos, and it seems to be somewhat of a national entity, implying it's not just an idea of you and me as singular people, but rather, as I said before, it's a galvanizing point for a national identity. The nation lives around the Mikdash, and that's expressed in the thrice yearly pilgrimage. So, L'chaira, according to this, one asks, why is it called Mishkan Ha'edus? It should be the Mishkan of the Mizbeach, Ichleis, Mishkan Aliyah L'Regel. Why is it called Mishkan Ha'edus? What is the purpose of the Edus and the Luchais, specifically in the Mishkan and the Mikdash, that at the end of the day, it's defined by that? The thing gets even more interesting. There is a famous machlokes, a gemara in Yuma, as to whatever happened to the Aron. A machlokes in gemara, whatever happened to the Aron, it's very, very, I mean, the world of film has made Gans and Mises over this. What happened to the lost ark? Okay, whatever happened to the lost ark? Mr. Spielberg had his approach. But at the end of the day, whatever happened to the lost ark? So we know that it's a machlekes in Gemara. One says Aron hugla l'Babel, that the Aron simply went in exile to Babel, and somehow it's there. And others say, no, Aron nigdas b'mkaymai, the Aron was found with nigdas b'mkaymai, it was hidden. In air downs there in Har Moriah somewhere. Actually, the Gemara finally mentions that the different Kayanim saw different stones in the Harabais that they picked up, and they saw there were tunnels, etc., and the one was in Dira Eitzim, another place. The implication was that this machlokes is not a machlokes in halacha. It's understanding of tradition of history. Well, one person said the tradition was it was in Babel. The other one says, listen, factually speaking, we know who that tradition is wrong. It's under the mountain in Har Moriah. They picked up a stone in Dir Beis HaEitzim, and there it was. That was the place. The Rambam is not in habit of paskening history. He's a story, he's a very big scholar, but history is not his thing. And the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBchirah paskens la halacha. That the Aron nigdas b'mkaymai, the Aron was actually hidden in the subterranean caverns of Har Moriah. He describes that Shlomo HaMelech, when he made the Beis HaMikdash, he built subterranean catacombs, whatever you're going to call them, tunnels, whatever it be, and there was a special place set aside originally for the Aron HaKadosh. It's not just a hiding space. It's actually set aside as Kaddish Medin Kedushas Kaddish HaKadoshim. And in that space they put the Aron, and in that space they put the Tzitzenes HaMan. So if you remember, the flask of Man that was put there by the Aron was put there. And also the Makel Shokei, the staff of Aron, which blossomed into flowers, etc., during the time of the rebellion of Korach, that was also put there. Because that was the Chathila supposed to be Lifnei Hashem. That place is called Lifnei Hashem. It's not just a hiding space. It's, so to speak, a Kodesh HaKadoshim upstairs. And there's a Kodesh HaKadoshim hidden, found under the inside that mountain. And that's the Makim Ha'arai, the Makim Tzentzenes Aman, and the Makim of the Makel Shoked Shal'arai, Lifnei Hashem. The question is, why does the Rambam tell us this? Why is this important? Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the Chassam Sofer, they all deal with this. They offer different possibilities. But in all truth, you know, Occam's razor, you always take the most simplistic way of understanding things is probably the truth. And that is that Tosefta writes in the 13th chapter of the Brises of Zvachim, Tosefta writes that there are two types of places which we can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makriv Korbanos. One is called a Bama, very famous, those of the Tanakh, a Bama, an open air public place of worship. A Bama. The Bama is that the Nevi'im also always said we were supposed to stop after we had the Mikdash. But until the Mikdash, we had a Bama. And obviously there's a Mikdash. Zogin Tosefta, what makes a Mikdash more than a Bama? Both have a Mizbeach. Zogin Tosefta, if there's an Aron and Aron there, that makes it into a Mikdash. Without an Aron there, that's just a place of worship. That makes it into a Bama. So obviously the Tana, the Tosefta, took for granted, halachically, that we must say that Aron Nignos B'Mekaymai, that we must say that the Aron was there during the Second Temple period, for if not, it simply would not have been a Mikdash. It would have been a Bama. And there would be major nafkaminas lahalacha, this is not the place, we're not doing a Shir in Zvachim here, but basically the major nafkaminas lahalacha, the Rambam understood that the Second Temple was a Mikdash. Therefore, obviously, he came to the conclusion that the Allah is like these Tanoim, that felt that Orain Nignas B'Mekaymai. You must see that even according to Rambam, it seems to be that without Orain, there is no Mikdash. Where is this found in that language of the Rambam when the Rambam says, Mukhain Lohakriv Ba Karbanos, it was set aside for Karbanos, Aliyah L'Regla, Avu Likt, the Orain in the Lashon of Rambam. And the answer is quite simple. As I said before, he starts by saying, Mitzvah livnais bayis l'Hashem. House for God. What does a house for God mean? Where does God reside? Does he reside in a house? What does it mean, bayis l'Hashem? You know, the klal is, I've been taught for years, God lies where we think of him. He's here as much as we think of him as we know him. Rambam elaborates, and also the Ramban in Iyov, the Rambam elaborates in Meir Nevuchim, that Hashgachat Pratis is totally dependent on our God awareness. Not just our religious behavior, but literally fulfilling Shivisi Hashem the Negdi Samid, living in a religious consciousness. God awareness. We ask a Jew, "Vos machste, Baruch Hashem? What's going to happen? Imyutz Hashem? Do you hear what you're saying? Your language is the language of God awareness. It's a religion. It's a language of a person which understands that things depend on the boss. Look, the Rambam, the Ramban, repeated. The Ramban is in Iyoy, the Perek Lamed Zayin. The Rambam is in Meira, quite a few chapters." That Hashgacha Pratis literally depends, each and every one of us, depends on the amount of God awareness we have at any given time. And it fluctuates. You can't always say, well, it was Hashgacha Pratis. It really depends how much God awareness you have at a given time. So I state in Rambam and in Ramban, I say this specifically, for Ramban is a mystic, so to speak, and the Rambam in the world of academia is perceived as a rationalist. Well, here we have a synergy between the two schools, if we may say. So obviously, Bayis L'Hashem means a place where people enhance and think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, this is a Rambam. Rambam writes in Meir Nevuchim, He writes, you know, old pagan deities were worshipped. They had these dolls, these symbols, whatever they had. And obviously, they didn't really think that the doll created the world. I have an acquaintance, he's Jewish, but Nabuch, he's a Buddhist. Now, that isn't funny. He is. He's a Jew. He's, you know, with the whole thing, the Nile, with the Shmoyne Begadim. And I, you know, I went to visit him from New York, and he has these dolls, and he gives it rice and flowers. I says, Yankel, come on, you don't really think. I says, here, catch it, and throws it at me. I says, you don't really think I worship a doll. I think about ideas vis-a-vis that doll. It's a tool of meditation. It's a, he has some kind, he believes in certain ideas or whatever it be, and this is the way he connects to it. You know, it's a Rambam. The Rambam describes in Meir Nevuchim that Avdei Avodah Zarah would build temples in which they would put their tziyurim muskalim, basically images which would allow them to think. They would focus on an image, and by focusing on their image, they would connect to an idea and meditate on that idea. They would think, obviously, the image of a star, they somehow connected some astrological sign, and they thought that that thing has koiches which leads the world. So they would focus on a picture of the star in order to connect to the star, in essence, or whatever that be, and that would give them some kind of relationship with that star. But he called these tziyurim, he called them tziyurim muskalim. Images of intelligence, of thought. It's interesting. Sometimes I ask people, when you say HaMelech HaKadosh, do you have an image in your head? And it's frightening. I'd rather not tell you the answer. Some people do. We're not supposed to. But it's true. It's much easier to think through images. Much easier to think through images. And it's a problem. Thus is how we deserve. We don't have images of a Kaddish Baruch. They have images of a Dover Gashmi because they believe a certain Dover Gashmi, a certain finite entity, has koiches. We understand there are no koiches. They're all the hammers, the saws, and the chisels of a Kaddish Baruch. We have no images, like Sasu. But what do we have, said the Rambam? We also build a Migdash, and we put in that Migdash the tablets of the covenantal relationship between the Kaddish Baruch Hu and us. We put in the Migdash the Luchos HaEdus, which are a testament to the Bris, Luchos HaBris, the covenantal relationship between the Kaddish Baruch Hu and us. And that covenantal relationship basically lies in the value system and the brought to the Aseres HaDibros. Those who learn Ramban, Parshas Yisro, will know that the Ramban elaborates how basically the first nine mitzvahs in the Dibros, in Aseres HaDibros, are elaborations of the idea that there is one infinite God, creator of all. Whether it's Shabbos, which is obviously a testament to Bris HaOlam, whether it's Kibud Aveim, remember your source and respect your source. If you remember the source of life, which is your parents, you will thus remember the source of all, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And whether it's Leisir Tzach, how can you dare shed the blood of a Tzelem Elokim, God made him, and so on and so forth. The only last one, actually, that's totally dealing with the covenant of man, Ramban writes, is Leisachmoid. Hey, he's unique, it's his. Why would you want that which is his? The Ramban elaborates on this. The first nine mitzvahs, dibros, are all a harchava, a broad elaboration of Anochi v'Lo'yir Lecha. Leisachmoid, so to speak, is elaborated in Parshas Mishpatim. Leishtet in Ramban. Ramban, this is in Yisrael, and it's also the first Ramban in Mishpatim, somehow references to that. And the Ramban said that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu elaborated at the end of the Parshas Yisrael, where he elaborated, again, repeated, Leisasu Imi, Leizov, it's all the different things, the end, talking about Anoich V'Yilacha, now he's going to talk about Leisachmoid in Parshas Mishpatim. And the pshat is because Ramban says in Yisro, that's how the luchas are. They're there for you to focus on God and ultimately through that on man. This is the covenant of God and man. God enables and ennobles the man to rise to major heights in this covenantal context. That's what it's for. Those luchos are found in a place, we come in there, and we also use them as siyurim muskolim. We also meditate and think of the value system of our covenantal relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is basically what the Ramban explains in Parshas Mishpatim at the end of the Sefer HaBris. Moshe Rabbeinu came down and told them the Torah of Matan Torah and told them Sefer Mishpatim, which I repeat, as I said before, the elaboration of the Ten Dibros. He says, this is called the Sefer HaBris. This is the context through which we have a relationship. The covenant of our source, and ultimately the covenant of the ennobled Homo sapien, the Jew. That's the Sefer HaBris, that's Luchos HaEdus. And we then sit in the Mikdash, we come and we think about that. And we meditate on that. Only in that context of understanding the Ideas Elokim through the Luchos can we then do the Avodah. So then go to the Mizbeach and whatever it be. But first and foremost, it must be a Bayis LaHashem. Yes, God resides where man thinks of him. You know, there's an old Kotzke Vort, they once asked a child, where's God? So they said, what do you mean? They point, well, up in the heaven. No, no, no. God is there wherever they let him in. You think about it. That's the Ramban we mentioned. The more religious consciousness we live, it's very important to do. But our actions must be a reflection of our value system of our thoughts. That's really what it is. Tanya elaborates in the first few prakim. He says that man is of a dual nature. One would call godly and experiential. What he calls nefesh elokis, the godly essential self, and nefesh abahamis, which we will call here the experiential sense of self. If you look for God, he says, you must look for where's the makay mishkan and nefesh elokis b'moyach. Interesting, Achsidus Rebbe b'moyach. For only through thinking of a Kadosh Baruch Hu can we then develop true emotions and true behavior. If we just look nefesh abahamis, the experiential self, is a person who lives totally in emotion but doesn't build a world of values of thought. What you would call the experiential man. Probably a good Latin term for it, but we're not going to use it at the moment. That is Nefesh Elokis lies in the Moyach. Mitzvah Livnis Bayis LaHashem means to build a place where one can think. Many a time I wonder, you know, it comes these parshis and you wonder, was hat es zu mir? What's it got to do with me? Product of the Western world, so to speak. Barefoot priests dressed in dresses, slitting throats of goats and sprinkling blood on altars, and I would say oriental nasal music of the Levium is not exactly my normal cultural agenda. And yet we spent quite a few parshas on this. But if Tishif Shivasa B'Tamas comes around, we're going to have to start contemplating about that again. And you always ask, do you really miss it? And I guess the time has come for people to say, yes, I miss it. I miss a place where I can act, which is conducive to meeting and thinking about the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I miss a place where it's conducive to actually build a Bayis LaHashem in my mind. A place where I can focus on the luchos and focus on my relationship, and only through that live the life of Karbanos. I'll tell you an anecdote. I remember there was... I'm originally from Hamburg, but I grew up in Chicago for a few years of my life. And I remember the first school trip we took from Chicago to New York. I must have been 9. I remember going on what they call a Greyhound bus. That was like a 17-hour bus ride to New York. And from the Midwest America, you go to New York, where do they take you? Well, they take all the Koreans and the Chinese to the UN I mean, a New Yorker doesn't go to the UN. It's like an Englishman doesn't go to Buckingham Palace. So my friends all went up to the Security Council and this, and I was a bit bored. So I'm in the lobby over there, and I sauntered into some room. It was an interesting room. It was a small room, very dark, a small amphitheater. And like it, and like a ray of light on a black pillar. If you ever went in South Africa, in Pretoria, very similar to the Fort Trekker monument, but whatever it be. And I sat there, and it was really an amazing thing. I was a little boy. I'm sitting in a dark room, small amphitheater, and a pillar in the middle, and a ray of light on that pillar. I think it was my first experience of focused thought. I was just focusing on that ray of light. When I grew up later, I found out that that's what they say, the beginnings of what you call a meditative experience. I walk out and ask the Afro-American attendant, what's this room? He says, oh, that's the place they're supposed to think before they vote. No one goes there. That was a mini-migdosh. Can you imagine having a place that's conducive to that and we all go there before we vote? Can you imagine thinking that way in a place before you daven, how you start your day the Torah way? That way, that's the Migdash I miss. The Bayis LaHashem, which is the Mishkan HaEdus, is what I miss. Yes, so that's why the Rambam obviously says yes. It is the Edus, it is the Oren, because that's what's there. We can now understand, this goes back to the broad context, yes, where is God? Where we think of Him. Again, to repeat, it's very important to know, where is Hashgacha Pratis? The more we think of Him. The idea is to build a Mishkan, contrary to the typical language, Bilvavi, but actually B'moichi. It's supposed to be in our minds. And then afterwards, it should sort of fall down into our hearts. Have a beautiful day.